Well, today we're going to talk about patience. yeah, you heard me right. We're going to talk about patience, which does not always come naturally to us, and yet is something that's really important. We're in a series right now of the fruits of the Spirit, and patience is the fourth one. We're going to skip peace because we're going to save it to closer to Christmas because it ties in better with what we're thinking for Christmas. But we want to talk about patience today, and I really want to pray that the Holy Spirit would grab your attention, and I believe something's going to speak to your heart today, more than just one thing, and it's going to radically change you. So, Lord, I thank you today for your goodness, and I pray, Lord, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, would you remind us, would you convict us, would you change us, and allow us to never be the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're talking about patience, and you're thinking to yourself, like, what, do we really have to talk about patience? Look, when I was younger, I remember this, someone turned around to me and said, hey, you just have to have patience. It's one of the worst things that you can ever have said to you. Come on, be real. And if you've said that to somebody else, then come on, you know you shouldn't have, and yet you should have. But we just don't want to hear the word patience, because usually it means we're waiting for something, we're excited for something. If it's younger, we can't wait for Christmas. We can't wait for Santa. Is he coming yet? Is it tonight? Is it tomorrow? You know, you get passionate, you get excited. And then your mom or dad or somebody else turns around and says, look, you got to be patient. You've got to be patient. Or you're going on holidays and you can't wait to get there. Our girls want to go to Disneyland. I'm like, we'll get there someday. And they're like, is it this year? Is it now? Or Jessica and the girls, and Bethany keeps saying to me, can I get a phone yet? I'm like, no. And then I don't even use the word patient, but they're having to use patience. They'll be waiting another few years because they don't need a phone whatsoever. They're 8 and 10. They don't need a phone. And so patience is one of these things where it's like, oh, it's nice to tell somebody else, but we don't want to receive it ourselves. And in reality, here's what we're thinking when it comes to patience. Patience is a nightmare. It's a pain. It's a nuisance. I want it now. Now, here's what I got to remember back to. An old movie called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not the very new one with Johnny Depp. The one before that, about 30, 40 years old sort of thing. I remember watching it as a kid and thinking, this is one of the coolest movies ever. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But right in the middle of it, there's this girl called Veronica. What's her name? Veronica Salt. Veruca Salt, not Veronica Salt. Veruca Salt, like the on your foot. And she's this one of these crazy girls who just wants everything. I want it, I want it, I want it. And up until this point, her dad has given her everything. And so there's this part of the movie where she wants something. She says, Dad, I want it, I want it. It's like a goose that lays golden eggs. Who doesn't want that? And her dad says, okay, Mr. Wonka, like, how much is it going to cost? And Mr. Wonka's like, it doesn't cost. And he says, it's not for sale. You can't have this. You like, this is just not what you need, because he knows there's problems with this thing. And Veronica or Veruca doesn't do any patience whatsoever. She says, I want it. I want it. I want it now. Eventually she gets what she wants, but it doesn't end too well. And I want to tell you that there are things in life that we can get, but they're not meant for right now. And sometimes even what we pray for, God will give it to us. If we pester him enough, he will bless us with it, but it was not what he wanted us to have at that point, or maybe not at all at that time, but we went at it so much by faith and we said, I want it, I want it, I want it. He said, okay, well, if you want it that bad, I'll give it to you. I mean, it's crazy. You see that in the Old Testament. And I want to encourage your heart that we want to be patient people. Otherwise, we can get the wrong things or miss out on the right things. And God says this, I want you to step into what I've called you to. I want you to step into what I've brought you to. And so being patient can be a drag. It can be a real like downer. It can be a real pain. And you say to yourself, look, it involves waiting. And, you know, I don't like waiting. And it involves not having what you want right now. And it even can get you a place of feeling anxious. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes when you get impatient, you start to get anxious. Like, I really, really need it. I just have to have it. And yet the Bible talks so much about patience. I mean, you can get to a place and you say to yourself, look, if patience is this bad, could we not just design a world where we don't need patience and we could just have everything instantly? You know, wouldn't that just be great? And yet, you know, life does not work like that. So no matter what you do, you're going to have to find a place in your life to get some patience or to get stronger in patience or to see more patience come into your life. Because no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you're going to need it someday. And if you don't have it right now, trust me, you're a total nightmare. Come on, let's be real. You're a nightmare and people won't want to be around you, because people without patience are like, I would like to be around someone who has some patience. Otherwise, you're very hard to deal with. And here's what God says. God says it's really important, so much so that I'm producing it in you. And we're going to read Galatians 5:22 again. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This is what the Holy Spirit is producing in us. So it's not something to try to get out of or to try to avoid, or if I could just have life perfect the way I wanted to, then I would never need any patience. God said to you, I want you to have it. I need you to have it. In fact, I'm producing it in your life because it's a high quality and it's a great thing. And so we got to think about, what is the patience that God's talking about in here? There are a couple of different strong definitions of patience, but I want to think about the one here in Galatians 5. And it's made up of two parts. And the first one is long, and the second part is temper. So you kind of guessed it. It's to have a long temper, or a person that doesn't have a short fuse. It's like you won't react instantly. You'll wait. You'll suffer it. You'll, like, long suffering is an Old Testament word that they use for it. In the New Testament, or in the new versions, it's patience. And so instead of exploding, you'll have patience. Instead of overreacting, you'll be long tempered. You know what I'm saying? And some of us today struggle with this way more than others. But I tell you, God wants to produce this kind of long temper in all of our lives because it's so important. And we're going to see today how important it is. Paul say, or the writer said here in Galatians chapter 5, you will endure pain. Come on, in life you're going to endure pain, you're going to endure suffering, and we want to get to a place where we're not complaining about everything. Amen, hallelujah. You know what I mean? You know this, because to be around someone who's always complaining is draining. Like, that's the rhyme. Complaining is draining. Like, someone who's always complaining, you're like, oh no, here we go again. It's like, you know, they're just never satisfied. It's just, and you know what? Even if things were right, they might still complain. It can become a bit of a disease. It can become a bit of a habit. We just complain about all things. And God says, I want you to be long-suffering and patient. Otherwise, instead of recognizing what's going on in bigger picture, you're always going to reduce yourself down to being a complainer. And complainers get isolated. Complainers miss the point. Complainers don't have patience. They don't see what's really going on. And God says, in this life, you're going to need patience because there's a lot of brokenness. And for to see people transformed and to see life transformed, to see your city transformed, you're going to have patience. You're going to need this long suffering or long temper. But the good news is God is producing this in us. And so I don't know about you, but like, how are you feeling with your complaining levels? Come on, we got to be honest. There's been so many things to complain about this last couple of years. We're not even starting to take. Come on, I know you're already thinking about it. You're thinking about all this stuff. But I'm telling you, I am not mentioning it today. I'm only talking about Jesus. I'm not going to talk about anything else that's been kind of going around this whole world for this last 18 to 24 months. We're not going to talk about it. But suffice to say this, we've got plenty to complain about. And here's the truth. It's legitimate complaint. But I want to tell you, let's go a tiny bit higher. God's not saying that I want you to complain about everything you know is real. I want you to step away from some things and say, hey, some things are just not good for you. Some things are just going to drain you. Some things are just not healthy for you. I know you can complain. I know you can complain about legitimate things, but is it wise? Will it bring growth? Will it bring transformation? Will it bring the kingdom of God? And very often, if not every time, it won't. And God wants us to get to long-suffering and to long-tempered. See, patience is an interesting thing, isn't it? You can have patience, but what's the point of it? Is it for you or for everybody else? Because remember, the fruit of the Spirit is that people get to enjoy this fruit. And sometimes we've got patience and all the other attributes of the Spirit, and they're for ourselves, for selfish reasons. And they're not really a benefit to anybody else. We're just doing it for ourselves. And I say, hey, I want to break free from any form of, like, lack of suffering or lack of endurance or just being very short with my temper. I want to get long tempered, but I also want to do it for the right reasons. I want to do it for the kingdom of God. I want to do it so that people get blessed, not just for me, and make it all about me. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. It's easy to get it all about us, but the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to produce patience in you. Okay, I want us to think about three main things. There's more, but this is just three. What kills patience? Number one, are you ready for this? Self-entitlement. Wow. Self-entitlement, where you just feel like everybody else can go to pot because I'm better. You know, it's like, I don't care about anybody else. In fact, I don't even know anything about anybody else, but I deserve it. I'm highly favored. It's just who I am. And we get to this point in our lives where we say to ourselves, I'm entitled and you're not. And, or we flip it around and we go the other way. It's like, I'm a victim I'm a victim, and it's all your fault, and you're to blame, and I never take any responsibility. I never take anything on myself, because remember, I'm self-entitled, and it's just the way I live. And I tell you, we have an epidemic, if we could use that word, of a sense of entitlement. And we're using it a lot of the times just to cover up insecurities. Because I'm insecure, and instead of working through that insecurity, and instead of facing that fear and talking to someone who could help me, I'm just flying off the handle all the time. Because this is not fair. You know, this is not fair, and I don't deserve this, and this is not what I signed up for. And we can go down all of those paths, and really all we're doing is running away from the fruit of patience that God wants to produce in our lives. Because patience is going to bring breakthrough. All of that other is just going to get us into this place that's not healthy for us, and it's not healthy for anybody else, and we produce the wrong kind of fruit. I tell you, we are highly favored. And we are the head, not the tail, but we're not better than anybody else. And the goal of our lives is not to walk over everybody else to get to a better place for us. The goal of our lives is to say, hey, I'm here for you. I want to bring transformation. I know who I am, but I want to be here for you. In fact, I'd love to serve. I'd love to be a son or a daughter that serves. I'd love to be a person that makes a difference. I'd love to be like Jesus. He didn't come with any sense of entitlement. He knew his identity, but he didn't expect to be served. In fact, he said it expressly, I've come to serve you. What a king. What a Jesus. And he's the one that we take our guidance from. You see, we need to face our fears and allow God to set us free. Because self-entitlement is a trap, and it's one that you jump into by yourself, and then you say to yourself, well, it's me against the world. And we get the siege mentality. I don't want to be self-entitled. I want to be focused on Jesus. I want him to come and say, okay, be selfless. And I want to take my identity from him. I don't want to be a benefit to everybody else. Number two is this, and this another one. It's going to hit your heart, maybe. If it doesn't, well, then that's good. You've already overcome. But number two is false humility. False humility. Here's an easy definition to think about. It's pride in disguise. It's saying that I'm not very good, but you're incredible, and, you know, kind of woe is me, and, you know, it's nothing to do with me. Or we get super holy and we go, well, it's all by Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're so good today. Yeah, but it's not about me. It's all by Jesus. And it gets this really weird kind of like putting ourselves down for negative reasons and for bad reasons. And yet God wants us to recognize who we are. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. Wow. And a saint is someone who knows they've got good qualities about themselves, who knows that they've been made in the image of God, and knows that there are good things about me because the fruit of God is being produced in me. And so rather than me run away and shame and hide from things, or just, you know, project on and say, oh, it's not about me, it's all about him. No, come on. Jesus says, I died for you. He died for us so that we could have a life, that we could have an identity, and that we could live bold before him and live bold in the world and say, hey, I'm a believer in Christ. This is what I do. This is who I am. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else, but I know who I am in Christ. And so I'm confident, quietly confident. You know, like you humbly confident because I know what God's made me. And so I'll reference and I'll take what's mine. And then everybody else, I'm there to encourage. You see, it's deflecting praise we truly deserve. I think this is another one that hits our hearts. It's deflecting praise that we truly deserve. And when God blesses us and we bless and be our blessing for the kingdom of God, there's praise that comes our way. I mean, this is the way God's always worked. Jesus praised his disciples. He said, you're doing a great job. You're doing really well. I mean, that's part of living for God. It's an encouragement. And when we get encouraged, we should receive that encouragement. In fact, it's very godly. It's very correct. And it's what God wants us to do. And it could be that by rejecting that encouragement, we are actually creating the problem itself. Because if you're in Northern Ireland, if you're watching here today, or you're in Ireland, we've a big problem with encouragement. We don't like to encourage anybody. We say, oh, look, I'm not getting encouraged because I don't want to give them a big head. What a load of nonsense. It's so important to encourage. And when you are encouraged, you say thank you. Just learn to say thank you because you need it, and it's good for your soul and it's good for your heart because God has made a difference in your life. And before you were no good, and now you're made in the image of God, the expressed image of God, and it's transformed you. Or you could be the opposite end, false humility, fishing for compliments. You know, fishing for compliments. I had a friend just the other week, I'm not going to name names, but he was just like, you know, I'm a very humble guy, you know. I was like, did he really say that? I'm a really humble guy. Did you know that? I'm like, hey, in my mind, I'm going, if you're like, I think I did laugh out loud, but I tried not to make it too noticeable. And I, in my mind, I'm going, hey, if you're humble, you don't need to tell anybody. The fact that you've told somebody is the chances are it's false humility. You don't need to tell somebody that you're humble. Like, it's just not something you do. Usually other people see that. It's not one thing you have to put out there. They see it automatically. And he says, hey, I just need you to know I'm a pretty humble guy, you know. Like, okay, that's great. But what God says is true humility is having a modest opinion of yourself and your own importance. You see, God has made us important. He's made us with authority. And if we don't recognize who we are in God, how are we going to step into the things that God's called us to? False humility is no humility at all. It's at the root pride, and below that, hiding in the skies, is fear. And God's calling us to walk in love and to know His love. And in fact, we're to know who we are. We're to be confident in who God has made you. And you're not to put yourself down or anybody else. God's never asked any of us to put ourselves down. He says, come on, I want to live through you. I want you to be full of humility. I want you to go in the power of the Spirit. And I want you to know how I've made you. And I've made you important in the kingdom of God. And I've made you with authority. And I've made you with purpose. And it's important to understand that. And then the third one, and we'll do it quickly and then we'll move on. Number three is anger, plain and simple. I mean, anger is a great killer of patience. I don't care what you say, I'm just angry. It's just like, you know, you get so angry, you're fit to be tied. That's a Northern Ireland saying. I don't know if you say it anywhere else in the world, but we say fit to be tied. You know, it's just like, you should be tied up, you're so angry. You're just like being so mad right now. Or we get to this place where we're like a ticking time bomb. Or people say, look, I'm walking on eggshells with you because you've just got no patience. You know, and sometimes it's when you get older, and sometimes the older guys, tends to be guys, I'm going to give grace to the girls, I only know the guys. They tend to get older and they justify it because I'm old. So I'm allowed to be grumpy, I'm allowed to be impatient, I'm allowed to be mean. And I tell you what, come on, no. I mean, every day we're getting better in the things of God. If we know Jesus and the love of God fills our heart, then this fruit's getting sweeter as time goes on. It's getting sweeter. So eggshells are out the window. Ticking time bombs are out the window. And we've got to work hard in this. And some of us have got to work harder than others, which means surrender. I need to surrender, because if anger is ruling your life and you're having to do everything in your power to subdue this anger, you've got an issue that you need God to deal with. I don't want to have to go to do sports, or I don't want to have to hit a punch bag every week to get rid of my anger. I want to go before Jesus and let Him set me free. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can have those natural kind of things and want to vent out my anger and frustration. But if there's a constant ongoing battle with anger, then that's something that God's got to set you free from, because it sounds like a sin. And He needs to bring breakthrough, and He needs to bring healing and His grace and His love and His peace ultimately to set you free, because anger loves to kill patience. And God's created us to be people of patience. See, here's the truth. If we're people without patience, we are a nightmare. We hurt people. We act badly. We say stupid things, and we want to avoid. We just want to avoid those type of people. And they'll want to avoid you, and you'll want to avoid them, because people without any patience are a complete nightmare. So come on, guys. We've got to do it for everybody else. We've got to do it for the benefit of everybody else, at least, if we're not going to do it for ourselves. Because it's so hard to be around people that don't have any patience. But as I said, a good news, the Holy Spirit is producing patience in you. Come on, let's let it out. Come on, it's okay to let it out. Now, I know some of us are going to have to work harder on this than others, but the Holy Spirit wants to work through our lives and do it. So patience is a good thing. Let me give you three things. If I give you three things that could kill patience, let me give you three things that are good about patience and that are really key for us to remember. Number one, true patience is rooted in love. See, this is the thing. True patience is rooted in love. We see patience as a negative thing, as not a good thing, as like it gets in the way. Like, I wouldn't need patience if I could just get what I want. We just see it as a nuisance. Like, it gets in the way. Can I tell you that patience is powerful? Because patience is rooted in love, so patience is powerful. Which means then, if we're not showing patience, we're actually showing weakness. And now we're getting somewhere. Because if we show patience, we show power. We understand that God's doing something. We understand that this is worth waiting for. And ultimately, we've got to see that there's a wait because there's things that are happening. There are things that's going on. So what am I going to do when I wait? I'm going to trust. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to understand that God has a plan. And instead of being always being reduced down to impatience and lack of self-control and all those other things, I'm going to remain calm and patient because I know God's doing something. Being patient is powerful. You see, it's easy to take revenge or to act out, but being patient is powerful. It shows self-restraint. It shows that we're willing to think and process. And so many times people get into like big messes because they didn't think it through. They reacted far too quickly. They didn't show patience. And I tell you, I had a friend years ago, he just said, I had first think later. Like that's the way his family were brought up. He's a guy in his 60s. He was the best. We talk about crack in Northern Ireland in Ireland. It's nothing to do with drugs. It's actually a translation of fun from the Irish. And so we love to have crack. We love to have loads of fun. And he would preach all the time and he'd say, hey, my family brought us up to head first, think later. Now, it sounds like fun, but the reality was they just got in lots of different messes that if they had have shown some long temper, they could have avoided some of the bigger problems in life. And here's the thing. If we're constantly being dragged into problems and constantly being dragged into issues of our own making, it's robbing us of the time that we need for other things, like helpful things, healthy things, good things, important things, the things that maybe God is calling us into. And so it's easy to take revenge. Can I just say that? It's easy to be impatient. It's super easy to be impatient. It's super easy to overreact. It's super easy to get mad. It's really, really so much. It takes so much more strength to be patient because patience is powerful. And to show patience means I'm trying to get away from myself, that kind of old man that wants to just do this or do whatever he wants. And I'm drawn on the strength of God and I'm drawn on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm drawn on the life of the Spirit and I'm actually being who God's called me to be by faith. It may not be natural to me, but I'm stepping into a new normal. And so what helps our patience is that we remind ourselves of the hope that we have. We've got a hope in Jesus. And so I wrote down a few things. I'm waiting, but I'm hopeful. I mean, you got to know this. If you're waiting for something, remind yourself that I'm hopeful because I've always got hope. I've got Jesus. He's already cleared the grave. He's already overcome. And you're saying to yourself, but come on, how does that help me when I'm waiting for something like on the bus or in a queue? Well, remind yourself. No matter how much I wait, I've already got Jesus. He loves me. He's transformed my life. Come on, get fresh perspective. Get a better mindset. Get yourself in a better place spiritually, which will bring cause and effect. I mean, what if you're not queued for a reason? What if you can be a blessing to some of the people around you? Because if you show impatience, lack of control, the chances are you might get mad, you might say something, and then you get no opportunity to be what God's called you to be that day. And in fact, if an opportunity come up, you'd be like, oh, I feel like such a hypocrite. I'm like, can we leave this? I'm the world's worst Christian. Come on, let's show some patience and watch how opportunities unfold in front of us. I'm frustrated, but I'm holding my tongue. Really, really important. I'm angry, but I'm not taking a bait. Can I tell you, this gets so many of us. This has got me so many times over the years, but I'm fighting hard with the fruits of the Spirit. I'm fighting hard with surrender. I'm fighting hard with the will of God, with the Spirit of God, because it's so easy to take the bait. And I'm telling you, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. And you need some people around you at times that will tell you, don't take the bait, don't, because they can see you. They can see you getting agitated. They can see you getting mad. They can see you getting raised. They can see you getting annoyed. And maybe you need some friends around you that says, hey, don't take the bait. Come on, we've been here before. Don't take the bait. And at that point, you're going to feel like a bit stupid. You're going to get more angry and your pride's going to rise up. And you're like, don't tell me what to do. But I'm telling you, if you can grab some control at that point and show some patience, it will bring breakthrough in your life. I want to react, but I'm deciding to stay calm. That is powerful. That is Christ-like. It is too easy to react. It's too easy to take revenge. It's too easy to take it into our own hands. And so ultimate patience is trusting that God's got a plan here. God knows what's going on. And so in those moments of tension, I've got a choice to make. I choose fear or I choose love. And you know what I'm saying? Let's choose love. Okay, let's talk about a story today from David, Old Testament, going back to the Old Testament. David, if you remember, was this guy who killed Goliath with a stone and a sling. It was like a catapult type thing and he killed Goliath. This incredible story. You probably heard it as a kid. But David's this guy, he's anointed to become king. And he's told early days, you're going to be king, you're going to be king of Israel, you're going to be God's anointed. And then his life goes back to normal. And David probably thought to himself, well, let's see what happens next. And then his life begins to unfold, and eventually the king of the day is Saul, and they become friends, and he almost becomes like his dad, and he befriends his son Jonathan, and they become like, says they were knitted together in their soul and spirit. It was like they were so together. Their friendship was so deep. But then eventually, Saul gets jealous one day, and he cannot control this jealousy, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. By the time we get to 1 Samuel 24, verse 24, it's at breaking point. And here's what Saul says. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, which was another enemy, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness in En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops, SAS troops in other words, from all of Israel, and went in search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. Wow. This is a son. He would have classed him as a son. He would have classed him as a son's best friend. And now jealousy has taken over. Vengeance has taken over. He has lost control. And now he's not going looking for David. He's looking to kill David. It's an incredible part of the story, an incredible part of David's life. Verse 3, at the place where the roads passed some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. Come on, do you imagine this? Like in the Bible, this is Paul. This is Saul going in. He's going for a wee. Like he's going to the toilet. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in the very cave. They were right there. Can you imagine? David and the 600 men are in the background. They see Saul come in. This is incredible. This is an opportunity. Verse 4, now is your opportunity. David's men whispered to him, today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power. Do what you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of his hem of Saul's robe. This is it. The opportunity is here. I mean, the man's even said it. This must be God. God's given the opportunity. They've got spiritual, you know, like it's right to go for this thing. Why don't you do it, David? Let's go for it. And he gets to the point where he even cuts a bit off his cloak. That's how close he is. And if he can take a bit off his cloak, then he can stick a knife in him and kill him. Like that's how close he is. But look at verse 5. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. It wasn't about the robe, it was something deeper. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord and King. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. In a moment of opportunity, David chose patience. In a moment of reasonable opportunity, think about this now. Saul wants to kill him. Like this might be his only hope. Like if he doesn't take the opportunity now, there's 3,000 against 600. It's easy maths to work out. This is too hard a fight. We'll not be able to do it. I mean, David's a smart guy. He knows what's going on here. And yet something starts to speak in him. It's the Holy Spirit himself. And he starts to produce that fruit of patience. And David chooses to respond to it. He chooses to say yes to it. He chooses to listen to the still small voice. And he chooses to say, okay, I'm going God's way, not anybody else's way. And in a cruel twist of irony, there he is in a cave with the guy who's trying to kill him, and he's got the opportunity to kill him, and his man has even brought God into it, and so he's probably in some shape or form in a dilemma going, which is God here? Is this God's opportunity, or is this God saying, be patient? And praise the Lord, David knew what to do. He said, this is an opportunity to be patient. Can I tell you, in every opportunity that you're given, there'll be an opportunity to go the wrong way and the right way. Every single time. Every single time. Joseph, he's in Potiphar's house and he gets an opportunity. It's the opportunity of, do you want to sleep with Potiphar's wife? And he's got the opportunity, either stay or run. And he chooses to run. He chooses the right way. I mean, it's Jesus. He's in the garden. He could have called down 10,000 angels. He could have run the wrong direction. He could have went the wrong way. He says, no, I'm going to choose to be patient because I trust my Father. I trust that I've got to go to the cross. And guys, I want to encourage you, in life, you're going to have crossroads. You're going to have opportunities. Why is in the road? Will you say to yourself, both are going to feel like God, but only one is God. That day, both felt like God, I'm sure, to David. Wow, this is my opportunity. If I don't take this, he's going to kill me. I mean, I'll be perfectly right. Everybody will understand. These are all the things that we say to ourselves. But thank goodness, David says, I know what the Lord says, and I will not touch God's anointed. In other words, I will have patience. I'm not going to promote myself. I'm not going to do it my way. I want to do it God's way. What a lesson for us to learn today. What a lesson for us to learn that we should remind ourselves that patience is always rooted in love, never fear. It would have been fear for him to kill Saul that day, but love was to say, I'm going to be patient. God's got a plan. I'm going to stick. This is not my plan. I want it to be God's plan. And true patience, is rooted in deliverance. God's in control of my life. This is what we have to realize. God is in control of my life. Now, here's why sometimes we decide to deliver ourselves. It's because we live in a world that tick, 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 time. And time can add up to pressure. And we say to ourselves, oh my gosh, I've got to do something. I've got to go for this thing. It's the time's now. I mean, now's the time to do it. And we do it in the spiritual things. We do it in the physical things. We do it in life. We do it in church. And we say to ourselves, I must make a decision now. I've got to make a decision. And my encouragement to you is this. God's never been early and he's never been late. He's always been perfectly on time. And we've got to resist the temptation of the time pressure, because time pressure will cause us to make bad choices. And I encourage you, never make a decision in a rush. Never be forced into a decision because of time. Of course, time's of the essence. Of course, there are times where you've got to make a speedy decision. But I tell you what, I think there's still an inner, in fact, I believe it, there's still an inner small voice. There's still an opportunity to go one way or the other. And if you trust the voice of God, if you trust and be patient just for a moment, he will give you the right answer. David had a moment like no other, like, oh, here's my moment. I've got to take it. I've got to take it. The guys behind him were like, take it, take it, take it. You know, you can just imagine them saying, take it, take it, take it. And he's under so much pressure. And then he takes a pause and he goes, no, not today. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have patience. God is good and we're to trust him. Don't feel under pressure to try to make something happen. That's when we make mistakes. God makes it happen, not us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. In other words, have patience. God is coming. God is on the way. God is in control. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Have patience. Joshua 21:43, so the Lord give Israel all the land he swore to them he would give their ancestors. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them the rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Wow. Because they had patience. Because they trusted God, and even when they walked in circles for 40 years, they stuck to the plan, they got to the promised land, they saw it fulfilled, they saw the promises fulfilled, and it said, every one was fulfilled. We can jump ahead, and God's gracious. We can jump behind, and God's gracious. We can sit still, and God's gracious at times when we need to move. But I tell you what, there's nothing quite like trusting God, having faith in God, and allowing that patience to be produced in us that brings breakthrough for the people around us. Remember, this fruit is not for us. We're to be patient, if not for ourselves, but for everybody else, because it's going to make a difference. It's incredible. So I encourage you, be patient in the waiting. Be patient as you listen for his voice. Be patient in the moments when it's easier to rush and to go fast and when you're under the pressure of time, because they didn't miss one promise because they trusted God above themselves. The enemy wants to get you impatient. The enemy wants to challenge your patience in God, to undermine his goodness, to undermine his timing, to undermine that he's hopeful and that you can have hope in him, and to undermine that he maybe has forgotten about you, that he maybe has forsaken you. Can I tell you, never, ever, ever. He's never been early. He's never been late once. He's always perfect on time. Imagine that. Lord, give me some of that. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, number three, true patience is kingdom business. I tell you, patience is serious business. I hope you're starting to get it now. I hope you're starting to realize this is not just a chore thing. It's not just something that your mom told you. It's not just something that your parents tried to put into you and you didn't really want it and they were just being weird and old. No, I'm telling you, this is a kingdom thing. And patience is kingdom business, because without patience, can I tell you, you're going to miss your destiny. Without patience, you could miss your destiny. We need patience. Here's what it says, 1 Samuel 24, verse 17. And said, he said to David, you are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me. This is Saul just afterwards. Now, what's happened is David's come out of his cave. He shouted after Saul and he said, Saul, 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 it's me. And then he said, look, Saul, I cut a bit off your cloak, which shows I love you. I care for you. You're trying to say that I will kill you, but I wouldn't. I had the opportunity. I didn't take it. I care for you. I love you. And he's trying to just show his heart to Saul. And Saul is overcome with emotion. He says, "You're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil." This is what patience does. It allows you to stay as a powerful person, as a godly person, as a good person, and you can repay good for evil. "Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let this enemy, let his enemy get away when he had him in his power?" Because he didn't have true power. True power is patience in God. "May the Lord reward you well for the kindness that you have shown me today." And watch this, verse 20. "And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule." Patience is the key, and we have to take it seriously. If I've been saved for a kingdom purpose, then I've got to have patience, because my patience is going to lead to my destiny. You see, this is crazy. The kingship was on this thing. The king of Israel was on this thing. David's destiny was on the line. If he had killed Saul, I mean, he has lost the destiny that God had got for him. If he kills Saul, everything has to change. Everything has to go in motion that was not supposed to go in motion. And maybe you find yourself, God, having to look for another David, for another man. We've seen this countless times through the generations where God calls someone, and then for a lack of self-control, a lack of patience, they miss it, they lose it, they let go of it, and they have to be taken away from what God's called them to. I'm telling you, patience is serious business, and if we don't work on it, we can jeopardize our calling, we can jeopardize our destiny, we can jeopardize our kingdom business, and God's called you to kingdom business. I want to encourage you today, God has a kingdom purpose on your life. You may not feel like it, you may not feel like royalty, but I tell you, if you're a son or daughter of the living God, you are royalty with royal purpose, with royal destiny, and you're here to build the kingdom of God. If you're not saved, then God's saying the same thing to you. You're to be my son, you're to be my daughter. I've got kingdom purpose for you. You were never a mistake, you were never a waste of time, you were never a person born to just do insignificant things. You are here for such a moment, for such a time, to change history right now. Amen. And I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus. We are here. And so what's the secret to patience? The secret to patience is the same as all the other fruits. I've got to get to the secret place where he produces in me, where he refines me, where he shapes me, where he takes away the anger, where he takes the self-entitlement out, where he takes away the insecurity, where he takes away the emotions, where he takes away the short fuses, where he takes away all the things that would hamper me and hinder me from being the man or woman that he's called you to be. David, in that day in the cave, learned a lesson that would forever change his life. It's God's timing, not my timing. It's patience, not impatience. I'm going to trust God in the process, not just grab it myself. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for all the things you're doing. And I pray, Holy Spirit, grab our attention. If we don't know you, we are saying yes to you. And so we say, Jesus, I love you. I want to give my life to you. I want to confess my sin. I want to believe in my heart that you are Lord. The Bible is very clear. If we would do that simple prayer and believing in Jesus, our life would never be the same again. And then we begin to follow after him and learn his ways and pray and read and worship. Lord, I pray for anybody who needs to do that today for the first time or needs to come back to you. I pray right now they would do it in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray, Lord, for the rest of us. Come on, we are not going to mess about with this any longer. Patience has been one of those things where we just laugh about it. We just say, oh, patience, whatever. And we just let it go. But we see today it's vitally important. Our destiny can hinge on it. So I pray, Jesus, speak to our hearts. Don't allow us to be the same and allow us to get into the secret place. Let's form fresh habits that forever change our destiny for the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.